It's good to be with you at Myerstown again this morning. Extend Christian greetings from the congregation at Blandon. And yes, my family is all well. It's just that we're at all different places this morning. The Lord gives us different opportunities and so forth. So I am here, they are there, and some are elsewhere. So thank you for your prayers. And God is good. As Brother Ray was reading from Psalms, and as I was thinking about that, you know, sometimes we fail to count our blessings, and that's a failure on our part. God is such a kind God and pours out His blessing upon us, and we as humans sometimes we walk around with our hands closed. We walk around like this, even though we're not thinking that's what we're doing. But you know, let's open our hands, let's open our lives, let's open ourselves to the goodness of God's love and kindness to us, and see His handiwork in all areas of our lives. I was out this morning feeding the goats, and they get a little grumpy when it rains. You people know about goats, maybe, but I have several boar goats. And they always get a little foul when it's wet. They don't like to get wet feet. And it's interesting in watching them. And as I was feeding the goats, I caught a glimpse of this large bird came sailing over the edge of the woods and kind of through the opening there, and circled a little bit and landed in a tree. And what in the world is that? And as I kind of moved to see what it was, here it was a heron that came up from the river and flew across and landed in the tree. And I believe it was an immature heron. So we got to enjoy that this morning there, sitting in the tree. And as the children were waking up this morning, I said, hey, you got to look out and see what intruders we have in the backyard. And of course, they were all excited about that. And they were not expecting to see this bird sitting there on the branch. And as this bird was sitting there, it was all hunched up. It was like its head was all down in, and you could barely see its long legs. You know, it was kind of weird. And I was thinking that's a picture of how we are sometimes. We get, you know, all hunkered down, and we, instead of opening our hands to the Lord and receiving what He has for us. It was a treat to see that this morning. I'd like to talk to you this morning about God's promises. This is a message I had brought at Blandon a little while back. And the title of the message is A Promise Given and a Promise Kept. And, you know, as you go through the scriptures, there are so many promises in God's word to those who believe, those who have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have received the plan of salvation, those who have their lives cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. So many promises that we can claim as God's children, and they're available for us to claim every day of our lives as we live. And it's important for us to realize that God wants us to be effective believers. God wants us to be proclaiming the gospel message every day of our lives. Now, granted, there's some days we just don't feel like it. And that's normal. Don't scold yourself for that. Because there's some days that I just don't feel like it. But yet, it's in those days when we make a conscious effort to go against our natural tendencies and to proclaim the gospel message and claim the promises of God. It's in those days that we receive the greatest reward, I believe. And I would like to challenge us this morning about claiming God's promises in our lives. And just for an example of one of the promises to a believer is in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2. You don't need to turn there. We'll get to some other scriptures later. But I'm thankful this morning that I have an advocate, someone that can plead my case before the Father. And I recognize this morning that I am a needy sinner, and I need daily cleansing in my life. And I have an advocate. That's one of the promises that God gives us, that we have an advocate that intercedes our case before the Father. And that is something to lay hold of. If you're struggling in your Christian life, that's a good thing. That's a good verse to memorize and to keep in front of you, because it propels you forward, knowing that you have that avenue of forgiveness. There are going to be times when we failed, and that's one of the promises that God gives us that enables us to live in victory over sin. Because so easily we can get bogged down. Well, I did this, and everything stops, and we feel really bad about it. But, you know, folks, we need to go to the Father. We need that daily cleansing in our lives in order to live victorious Christian lives. And we think about a promise, the promise of an advocate, of an intercessor, was a promise that was kept. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for the remission of our sin. And that was a promise given way back in Old Testament prophecies. And that was a promise that was kept. There are also promises that are given to those who are unbelievers. If you look in John chapter 3 and 35 and 36, it says there that there's the promise of the wrath of God to those who do not believe, those who do not accept his plan of salvation. And that's a sobering thought. In particular this morning, I like to think of the promise of that God and his love to us, the promise of eternal life, and how it comes to the life of the believer through faith. And we want to look at an Old Testament example this morning as well. There's another verse I'd like to refer to here in the opening. That is a familiar verse. It's 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It talks about the exceeding great and precious promises that are to those who believe on the Lord. And God's promises are something that are not to be taken lightly or not to be taken for granted. They're exceeding great and precious to those who believe. And as you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you realize how exceedingly great those promises become in your lives as you experience a walk with the Lord. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to look at a few verses here, and then we're going to go to the Old Testament for several thoughts here. Romans chapter 4, and the Old Testament character we want to look at is Abram, and soon to become Abraham in the scripture this morning, as we look at God's promises to Abram and what he did with that, and how God led him and how God blessed him. Let's look at Romans chapter 4 and we're going to jump in here at verse 13. It says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham nor to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be received by grace to the end of the promise, that the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, whom quickeneth the dead, and hath called those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith and giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And now it was not written for his sake alone, it was that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. For we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered from our offenses and was raised again for our justification." The verse that, if you would call the text verse here, would be verse 20. And thinking about Abraham, it says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And we want to look at those promises in a little bit, but I get 3 points here from verse 20 and 21. The first point is that Abraham was strong in faith, and the second point was that he was giving glory to God, and the third point this morning is that he was fully persuaded. And as we view the promises of God in his word, I would trust that we are strong in faith, and we give the glory to God, and that we're fully persuaded, that we believe that what God says in his word will come to pass, and that we can claim it as believers. We can claim that as believers and live victorious Christian lives. Now let's go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 17, and we're going to look at the promise that was given to Abram at this point. And as you think about this, and you think about Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Now, I put myself in the shoes when someone promises something to me. Sometimes I say, no, impossible. It's not going to happen. We kind of say, no, that's impossible. And I don't know what all, I don't think this was Abram's case at this situation, but sometimes we have a tendency to stagger, at least I do, at God's promises. And again, as I pointed out in the opening a little bit, we need to cling and openly receive God's promises. If God wants to bless your life, open your hands and receive it. Receive the blessing that the Lord has for you. So it says here in chapter 17 in Genesis, it says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." In verse 3, it says, "Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but it shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make the nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to see thy seed after thine. And I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. And then he goes on to say what the covenant was. And then it says too, God introduces to Abram the need for circumcision here. And I don't know what all was going through Abraham's mind at this point. And this was something that was new to Abraham. Strong in the faith. Do we believe what God says in his word? Do we believe that God will do what he says in his word? Our Sunday school lesson today brought out a picture of warning, a picture of coming judgment. And sometimes, I think sometimes we may become a little bit lax in understanding the just side of God. We like to overemphasize that God is love, and that is very true. There's no doubt about it, and maybe we can't overemphasize that enough. But I think on the other hand, I think we need to realize, as folks here this morning, that as we go through life, there is an accountability program for the things that we do. God does not tolerate sin. God in his holiness does not tolerate sin. And I think of the song in the Christian hymnal, Sin Can Never Enter There. That song often goes through my mind. And, you know, that maybe is a promise we don't like to think about so much, but it's true. And God is just. We need to grasp who God is. God told Abram here, he said, I am the Almighty God. God introduced Abraham as the Almighty God, a God of loving supply and comfort, as well as a God of justice as well. Do we grasp who God is? If we're to be strong in the faith, as Abraham was, as we saw in Romans, he staggered not at the promise of God, but he was, point number one, he was strong in the faith. What are we doing today to develop our faith? Do we believe God's promises to us? Are we developing our faith to the point that we are strengthened? Let's look and see what happens in Abraham's situation now that he's been approached by Almighty God. And he's given the promise of becoming a great nation. Abraham's sons were quite limited at this point. God gave Abraham the promise of a son, and it was almost to the point where it was almost a laughing matter toward Abraham. In verse 17, it says, Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 99 years old, bear? You know, Abraham thought about God's promise and what God had said, but yet it may have seemed humorous to him, but Abraham realized that God meant what he said because he acted on what he said. And it says that in verse 23, it says, in the latter half of the verse, it says, in the selfsame day, they acted on the commandment of circumcision, probably not understanding what God had in store, not understanding what God had in store. But the selfsame day, it says, they acted on what they had known as God had said unto him. And a faith that acts on God's promises is one that honors God, one that puts God first in our lives. And I believe Abraham's relationship with God was one that was a close relationship. I believe Abraham walked with God. Abraham realized who God was and his holiness and so forth. And I really believe today in our lives, if we're going to claim the promises of God in his word, we need to recognize God. We need to know who God is. And we need to act in faith, believing that God will accomplish what he says in his word. The second point this morning, giving glory to God is part of our obedience to what God has for us. If we know, I don't want to explain it. If we know there's something that we should be doing and we're not doing, it certainly doesn't make us a very pleasant person to be around. I know it's that's for myself as well. If I know there's something that should be done and it's not, and I'm not taking responsibility to do it, I can have a tendency to become pretty grumpy about that. But giving glory to God is a result of our obedience to what God asks us to do. And again, we recognize that Abraham moved as to what God had asked him to do. And building a great nation coming out of Abraham, it was a staggering thought for him at this point in his life. But yet, Abraham was willing to move, and he was willing to give glory to God. Now let's go back a few chapters in the book of Genesis here, in chapter 22, and some time had passed here, and it says in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto Abraham, he said, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac." See, Isaac comes on the scene at this point in time, and Abraham is being tempted here by God, and he asks him to bring Isaac. And as you read on through here, he says, "Take now thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Not sure where I would be at that point had I been in Abraham's shoes and having received the promise that Abraham received. But yet, God promises us in his word that if we serve him faithfully, God gives us the promise of eternal life. And so many times, we live in fear. We handle situations ourselves. We put God on the shelf, and we get him off the shelf only when we need him. Abraham here, it says in verse 3, it says, "He rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place God had told him. And on the third day," it says, "Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, Abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again unto you." Fully persuaded that God will deliver on his promise. "I will come again unto you." What was Abraham thinking? I marvel at the trust and the faith that God had, that Abraham had in God's leading in his life. What was Abraham thinking at this point? We know what Isaac was thinking. We read on in several verses here. Verse 7, it says, "Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Well, you know what Isaac was thinking. Isaac was a young fellow at this time. in his life. He probably watched Dad deal with different situations through the years, and here's Dad following God's leading again. And the question was, where is the burnt offering? And notice the answer is that Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering." And so they both went together. And they came to the place where God had told him of. Isaac was doing the calculations. Our children are watching our lives, folks, adults, those of you who have children, teenagers of all ages. Our children are watching our lives, and they're doing the calculations. They're seeing the equation. This plus this plus this equals this. It's a sobering thought that us as adults, sometimes we put aside the promises of God in His Word, just simply the promise of protection, the promise of eternal life, some of those things that are there for us, the promises that are there for us to give us victory in our Christian lives. And we see the equation, they see the equation unfolding, and what do they see as results? Do they see mom and dad fully committed to the Lord and trusting God's promises? This was a reality to me and my wife just this past spring, when our daughter, earlier in the year, daughter Mariana decided that she would like to hike the Appalachian Trail. And mom was okay with it, but dad struggled with it. And I guess dad saw the dangers. And I remember talking it over with Mariana and just, you know, right at first maybe it was like Abraham laughed at the idea. I was a little skeptical of the idea. And then as Mariana and I talked some more, and she said, "No, Dad, I'm serious about this. It's something I want to do." And I'm like, okay. It's something, all right, I'll get used to it. And so as the day got closer, and we were making gear decisions and things to take along and so forth. "No, Dad, this is enough. No, this is Dad." You know, Dad wanted to equip daughter with the latest and the best technology, or the latest and the best way of communication, or the latest and the best of navigation available. And "No, Dad, this is enough. I've got trail maps. I've got cell phone service now and then. That's enough, Dad. And plus, the Lord is going to look out for us." And yeah, I knew that in the back of my mind, but was I in faith believing that? Was I willing to accept that? Was I claiming the promise that of God's protection as we put our faith and trust in Him? And I admit I was weak on that area, in that area. And as I left Georgia that day, left my daughter standing there with a backpack full of necessities. It would be what you would call necessities. Had I been hiking, I don't know if I could have got it all in the backpack, but I would have had to. Do you get the idea of what I'm getting at? Sometimes we think we need to help God. We think we need to help God meet the need. God doesn't need help. God can meet the need all by Himself. And praise God. Something that I had to work through this summer. She came home in June, made it safely from Georgia too. She stopped just a little bit north of Hamburg there. Kara Graber went on and finished then. But there were some nights when I laid there and my cell phone is beside my bed, and I was available if there was a need. But you know, after a while, I learned to place it in God's care. I learned to place it in God's hand and claim His promise. And that is my plea for each one of us here today, that yes, we take along the necessities, but let's place it in God's hand. And here I see Abraham doing the very same thing. He placed it in God's hand. Abraham wasn't dragging a ram along for just in case. God changed his mind at the last minute. He wasn't hauling that along. He was trusting God. He was trusting God to meet the need. And what a picture. Are we fully persuaded? God's promises. That's the third point. Fully persuaded that God will provide. And I just marvel at God's provision and His promises to us as believers. And as you read on here in chapter 22 of Genesis, it says they came to the place that God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar, and there laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You know, it wasn't until Abraham stretched forth the knife that God intervened. And I often wondered about that. So they got to the place, why didn't God intervene earlier? What was the boy thinking? What was Abraham thinking? But God's ways are sovereign. God's ways are over our ways. Living a life of obedience is also taking steps of faith. And you think about that. And obedience to what God has for us is also taking steps of faith. And that's what we see Abraham doing here. Taking steps of faith. This is verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord called out to him out of heaven and said, Abraham! I think God wanted Abraham's attention at that point. Abraham was following in obedience up until the point of, and God intervened. Sorry if you were sleeping, but I believe that's how it sounded. I believe that's how it sounded. God's intervention here was in a dramatic fashion, and Abraham said, here am I. And then he goes on and tells him not to lay on him. Sacrifice his son. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. We go back to Romans, and what does it say there? He staggered not at, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had said, that what he had promised, he was now able to perform. Folks, this morning, how is your relationship with God? Are you fully persuaded? Are you living a life of obedience? And are you giving glory to the Lord? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, it is a privilege we have to gather in your house this morning. Father, thank you for the life of Abraham. Father, thank you for his faith and his obedience. And Lord, I pray that as we go through life, Lord, not knowing what all you have in store for us as believers, but Father, we believe the promises in your word are true and sure. And Father, we commit ourselves to you. And Lord, I ask that you would watch over us today. Father, we go as we go various different ways. And Father, I pray that you would pour out a blessing on us as we fellowship as well with others. Thank you again for your goodness to us, your love and mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall be the song leader lead us in a closing song.